Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, today we continue with life in the spirit. Last week we looked at life in the spirit. That was part one. Today, part two, life in the spirit. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll look at the temple of the spirit. And then after, we look at gifts of the spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll start my message by going off before coming back in. Open to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Life in the spirit. So the question is, what does Ephesians 6? I think it's actually 6, 17. Let's do 17 and 18. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. And I'll show you what that has to do with life in the spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Yes, anybody ready to read Ephesians 6, 17 and 18? Yes, it can be anyone who is ready. Okay, Sister Kemi, I'll come to you later. Sister, I noticed you, I'll come to you. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Please follow your Bible.
And take the helmet of salvation.
Take the helmet of salvation.
And the sword of the Spirit.
And the sword of
the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Which is the word of God.
Which is what?
The word of God.
Yes, continue please.
Praying always.
Praying always.
With all prayer and supplications in the Spirit.
With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
And watching thereunto with all perseverance.
Hallelujah.
And supplication for all sins.
Amen. So sister, how many times do you see the Spirit in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18? How many times does the Spirit come up?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the three times? Just give me the phrases.
Sword of the Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit.
The word of God.
Okay, that's doesn't have Spirit.
Praying always with all prayer in the Spirit.
Prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Watching therefore to all perfection.
Two times. Okay. So there is the sword of the Spirit. And there is praying in what?
The Spirit.
I tell you, these are master weapons. Hallelujah. When you look at the armor of God, it starts from the belt of truth, isn't it? Yeah? Hallelujah. I've explained before that the belt of truth is not to hold the hammer. The belt of truth is to hold you. That's why it comes on first. Hallelujah. You hold you. Truth holds your life together. Say to yourself, say truth holds my life together on a firm foundation. That's what it means to build your life on the rock. Say the wise man built his life what? On the rock. You have to build your life on the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. If you build your life on false doctrine, yeah, you will fall when the stones come. Hallelujah. You build it on the truth of God's word. Not people's opinion, not what people say, not what people think, not what people do, not the customs of this world, but on the truth. If any custom in this world disagrees with the truth, you shelve that custom. It doesn't matter if it has been in your family for a million years. Hallelujah. Don't build on custom. Build on the truth. Don't build your life on culture. I told you, I said before, I said first and foremost, before being a Nigerian citizen or a British citizen and both, I'm first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's my identity. So if anything in my heritage contradicts with that, I shelve it. Hallelujah. It's the truth of God's word, sound doctrine, that holds your life firmly together, a firm foundation. Hallelujah. Once about truth, that truth does not change. Hallelujah. Beliefs change, customs change, opinions change, truth, facts change. Facts change. Hallelujah. Facts change. Maybe last year you were not feeling well, but this year you are feeling well. Facts change. So say, I like to live by facts. I like reality. Facts are not the deepest reality. They change. A rich man can become poor. And a poor man can become what? Don't live your life on facts. That's not the greatest reality. The greatest reality is truth. Hallelujah. It does not change. Hallelujah. And when you build your life on truth, you are on solid rock. Hallelujah. No matter the storms, you will still come out standing strong. Hallelujah. I don't know why I went there, but I'm talking about the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit and praying in spirit are master weapons to overcome whatever life throws at you. And what I'm trying to teach there is that, you know, growing up as a believer, We said the sword of the Spirit, which the Bible says that is the word of God. And that's true. But I think I've taught this, you know, in a series before. If you read, you know, that Bible in Greek, there are two words used for the word of God. There's the logos, which is the written word of God. And there is the rhema, which is the spoken word of God. So, you know very well that apart from the fact that you have the Bible, God can speak to you. Isn't it? Right in your heart. How does God speak to you in your heart? Through the Holy Spirit. Hello? How does God speak to you in your heart? It's through the Holy Spirit. As the fountain of living water you have here. Hallelujah. He can speak to you. Amen? So, that word of God that the Bible is calling the sword of the Spirit is not logos. It's rhema. Hallelujah. Now, I keep saying, so I say, you know, that for you to have the shield of faith, you need the logos. You can explain that because Jesus said, when the devil came to tempt him, he said, turn these stones to bread. What did Jesus say? What did he say? When Satan came to tempt Jesus and said, command these stones to become bread. Matthew 4:4. What did Jesus reply? No. What did he say first? Well, it is written. Hallelujah. It is what? Every time you deploy, it is written. That's the shield of it. Hallelujah. Every time you can go back and say, no, Satan, this is what the word of God says about me. You are defending your position in Christ. It's the shield of faith. The shield of faith is built on it is written. Hallelujah. The shield of faith is built on the logos. It is what? Written. That's why if you don't know what is written, you're in a bad place. Hallelujah. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. I know some of you here don't read your Bible every day. Some of you here have not read it in the last 1 week. So how will you get faith? Faith is not wishful thinking. The fact that, you know, you have a wish and you are holding on firmly to it in your mind does not mean you have faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by what? And hearing by what? So, if there is no hearing of the word of God, is there faith? Hallelujah. The more you expose yourself to what has been written, the more your faith will grow. And one thing about it is that faith is never static. If I built my faith up last month, then I stop exposing myself to the word of God this month, the one I built up last month will start going down. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that the just shall live by what? Faith. Do you know why it goes down? Because every time you are interacting with the world, and the world is full of lies. He said the devil is what? The father of, and the Bible calls him the prince of this world. So all the world will ever sell you is lies. Hallelujah. So if I don't keep feeding on the word of God, my faith cannot stay up. Because the world is full of unbelief. The world is full of compromise. The world is full of temptation and lust. Hallelujah. The world is full of unbelief. So if I want to keep my faith going, I must keep exposing myself to what has been written. We call that meditation. Yeah? We call that what? Meditation is an art of repetition. You must keep exposing yourself to the word. Don't say I know it. Because knowing it in your head is different from knowing it in your heart. Hallelujah. When you know it in your head, it just means you have a good memory. But when you know it in your heart, it's revelation. Something that will produce result. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say the shield of faith is based on what has been written. So now you can see that just the Bible alone. I know you watch some movies. By the way, I want to encourage you, don't just watch movies produced by people of this world. They can never sell you anything of God. They don't know God. The world does not know God. Hallelujah. So if you're only watching worldly movies, yeah, you are soaking up the lies of the world. Because the world cannot teach you truth. There's no truth in the world. Hallelujah. The truth is where? In the Word. Now, there's nothing wrong about watching movies. But I want to tell you that even on YouTube, there are many Christian movies now. There are over 100 there. They are all nice ones. You will be entertained and you will be also blessed. Hallelujah. You will watch a good story, a good drama, and you also be refreshed in your revelation of God. You have to, like I said last week, I said, if you don't want to add, apologies, I'm not against any, everybody is welcome here, nobody is fat. Can you repeat it after me? Say, nobody is fat. Repeat, say, nobody is fat, and nobody is thin. It's according to what, how you like it. Say that. It's according to what? Don't change your face, I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. But, it's according to how you like it. Do you know that? Yeah, do you know that? Yeah? Some men like very thin ladies for as a wife. And some other men like what? The one that has, you know, everybody, there's no, God does not discriminate. Hallelujah. God does not what? Hallelujah. It's only the magazines that discriminate. God does not discriminate. Hallelujah. have you ever read it in your Bible? That God, I say, I like fame people. Yeah. No. Hallelujah. God, there's no partiality with God. Amen. It's according to how you like it. But what I'm saying is that if on your own level, you don't want to add excess fat. So you're already at a level, yeah? And you don't want to take it further, yeah? And add the fat you don't want or you don't need. You need to regulate your consumption. Does that make sense? Yeah? You're already on a level now, yeah? You've worked very hard. There's somebody in this side I'm talking to. And you've lost some weight just very recently. You know what you did. You know how you tried. You know what you went through to lose that weight. Yeah? I didn't tell you to do it. It was your choice. Yeah? Now, if you don't want to, I know you've achieved it now. Today, this is July, yeah? Before December, if you don't want to add, I'm talking to somebody, they know me. They know who I'm talking to. You don't want to add excess fat or regain everything you just worked out to lose for the first half. You have to what? Regulate your what? Consumption. I mean, you cannot consume everything that looks good. It's not just they say regulating your consumption means you cannot eat everything that looks good. Does that make sense? Same thing spiritually. You can't just consume every content out there because it's a nice movie. Huh? Because within the nice movies are things that will destroy your faith. Within the nice movie are things that will destroy your language. You will use that language. You will end up using the language. You end up saying, what the hell? You end up saying, bloody. Because you've watched it, you've fed on it. It's not awesome. It's not awesome language. Hallelujah. Bible said, no filthy language should proceed out of your mouth. But that which is useful for edifying other people. So that you can minister grace to them. Hallelujah. I'm quoting from Ephesians, I believe. So regulate your consumption. So I won't watch, I'm not going to watch just any movie because it's nice. Amen? If I don't have the time. But I have time for Christian movies. They're nice movies. Good drama. But they remind me of truth. Hallelujah. And in this world, you need to be reminded of what? Of truth. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if a lot of people are going through divorce. The Lord God wrote it in his Bible. He said, I hate divorce. That's what God said. Hallelujah. When you watch a worldly movie, you will see people divorcing anyhow. If you keep watching, you will believe that, well, that's it, you know. And, you know, if it happens, it's not a new thing. But when you watch a Christian movie, they will show you how people were having a problem in their marriage. And they were thinking of that, and now that marriage was saved. Hallelujah. And they will remind you that it's not God's will. Hallelujah. They will remind you that it's not God's will. And they also remind you that the things you say and do can contribute to the problem. Hallelujah. Then you know that you're not going to walk away. You know you're going to stay put with God and do His will. Hallelujah. The world cannot teach you that. They don't have it. Hallelujah. So regulate what? What do you regulate? Your consumption. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Then I say, you have to regulate your consumption. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is not just your Bible. You see, in this Bible, you find truth. Amen? In this Bible, what you find? You find truth. In this Bible, you find the promises of God. In this Bible, you find the instructions of God that will prevent you from making mistakes in your life. Amen? In this Bible, you find what is written. So that when the devil shows up, you tell him what? It is written. That's the shield of faith. But the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God, the spoken word. You know how the rhema of God comes to you? First and foremost, what the Holy Spirit tells you in your heart. Hallelujah. It's specific. A specific word spoken to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the rhema of God. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the devil has no answer. Are you listening to me? When God gives you a word, the devil cannot stop it. Listen to that again. When God, it's not just that you read it in the Bible, God spoke it to your heart. Yeah? The devil cannot stop it. It's like when God was creating the world and said, let there be. The devil cannot stop it. When you receive the rhema of God, it's the sword of the Spirit. The devil has no resistance to the sword of the Spirit. He will flee. He can't. Hallelujah. Now let me just show this before we go back in. We're talking about life in the Spirit anyway, so it's the same thing. There are some instructions that God has given you specifically. Those instructions God gave you specifically, actually, before I go there, it's not only in your heart that God gives you rhema. He can give you in a dream, a vision. He can give you through other believers. Huh? Amen? Of course, you have to be discerning. It's not everybody that comes to you with a message that you believe. But thank God you have the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been saying something to you. Then your Sister Pinky came up and said, you know, as I was praying today, the Holy Spirit ministered to me and said, you know, this, I should tell you this. And what she's telling you, you know there's agreement in your heart about it because the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about it. That's rhema. That's rhema. If you follow that instruction, you will have the breakthrough you need without fasting. Because obedience is better than what? Fasting can become a sacrifice if you are not doing what God has told you to do. Sometimes what you are praying for is connected to following just a simple instruction. How did Jesus turn water into wine? By the way, it's not alcohol. It's not alcohol. Because if it was alcohol, they would have all been drunk, including Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is ready to be. You write it down. You will read it. After all, when Noah was drunk, did the Holy Spirit write it down for you? He doesn't write it. He will write it. When David misbehaved, did he write it down? When Jesus was going to make that first miracle, what did he do? He just told them, fill the water pot. Yeah? Fill it with what? Water. Then, they said they filled it. He said, okay. Now, take a cup, drop from it, and go and give it to the governor. All this time, nothing has changed. It was still water. Amen? But their ability to follow that instruction, somewhere between their taking it and reaching the governor, it had changed. Hallelujah. It had changed. So every word that God speaks to you, your heart as a specific instruction or revelation, is the sword. You deploy it, the devil has no answer. He doesn't. The devil has no answer to the sword of the Spirit. None. Hallelujah. None. So you had better start paying attention to what the Spirit is saying to you. And I tell you something. The Spirit will speak to you. Except you are not born again. If you are born again, there will be that still small voice. You know the still small voice? He's there. In your innermost being. In your belly. He will speak to you. And if he knows that you are hard of hearing, He will send others to speak it to you. Within that instruction is your breakthrough and your miracle. It is the sword of what? Of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I thought I should just, the Holy Spirit. That was not part of my message, but it's good to make you understand that. As you start following what God is telling you, you'll be entering into supernatural miracles. Hallelujah. Sister Yemi is not here. But it was my privilege as a pastor, because when she came to the business, for some time the Holy Spirit had been saying, you know, she's a friend, you know. But the Holy Spirit is telling her, that's your church. she doesn't love us any less. Maybe just thinking, oh, you know, I don't want too much familiarity. But the Holy Spirit, that's your church. Huh? But one day, she decided, she was driving. She told us, you were here somewhere with him. She was driving to another church. The Holy Spirit told her, no, that's the wrong turning. This is the right turning. And she found herself here. Amen? 1 or 2 months after, she conceived. Hallelujah. It's just simple obedience. Amen? It's just a simple obedience to an instruction. It's the rhema. It doesn't matter the forces of darkness that have been deployed against you. When you follow rhema, they don't have answer. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Think about it. All the demons of hell cannot, they are not a match for God. When the devil, yeah, when he entertained that thought, yeah, to be like God, I want to correct that impression. He was not trying to overthrow God. He can't. Amen? I know the devil is stupid, but he's not as stupid. He's foolish, but he's smart. You know the devil is smart than most people. But he's foolish because he doesn't have the wisdom of God. In his smartness, he knew he can't overthrow God. How can a created being overthrow the creator? Is it possible? That's what the Bible said. The Bible said he did not say he was wanted to overthrow God. He said he wanted to be like God. You know what we call that? Like parallel government. Hallelujah. He wanted like God. You be there, do your own thing. I don't want to be under you. I want to do it my own way. Does that make sense? We see committing the same sin people today. The sin of Lucifer is the same sin that human beings are committing today. God, I don't want to do it your own way. I want to do it what? Because I have considered that my own way is smarter. Amen. He said, as I will be like the Most High. Amen? Running his own parallel government. Hallelujah. It's no match for God. If you read Revelations, you'll find that God sent an angel to bind the devil and put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and lock him up there. Hallelujah. An angel following the instruction of God bound the devil. It's not a match for God. But the devil is a match for you. It's more than a match if you are not following instruction. Hallelujah. When you are following the instruction comes with his power. Hallelujah. You know when God speaks a word, there's power in that word. Hebrews 4:12. What does it say? Said the word of God is alive and what? Powerful. Hallelujah. Even if you're a kid, but you carry the word of God, rhema, and you deploy it, it has power. The devil has no answer to the word of God. What did I say? The devil has what? So when I receive the word in my heart, the rhema. If the rhema says wait, that's where the miracle is. If the rhema says wait, that's where what? The miracle is. If the rhema says move, that's where what? The miracle is. If the rhema says forgive, that's where what? The miracle is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the Rema says give, that's where what? Nothing else will make it happen except the obedience of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sometimes you're just going about your business, you're not even praying, you're not doing anything, but he just says something to you. Please, if within that instruction is your miracle, don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, glory to God. We're talking about life in the Spirit. I just quickly explain to you about the sword of the Spirit. That the sword of the Spirit is the Rhema of God. The specific word that God gives to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose is Rhema. And most of the time, it will come as a still small voice in your heart. Hallelujah. So every time you prayed about something, listen to what God is telling you to do. Amen? Listen. You've prayed. You've fasted. You've cried. Anybody here knows how to cry? Oh, the Lord reward you for your honesty. Because I know that some other people here, they know how to cry more than you, but they did not put up their hands. Yeah? Hallelujah. You've done it all. Now, he now spoke something to you. Huh? Simple. And there's nothing God ever tells you that is not doable. God will never tell you to do what you cannot do. God will never tell you to do what? If the voice tells you what you cannot do, it's not God, it's the devil. Whenever God tells you, you can do it. Amen? What's so difficult about filling a water pot with water? It's doable, isn't it? That was the simple part. You know the difficult part? Now, go and take a caution and take it to the governor. It's doable, but you have to suffer embarrassment or failure, yeah? But it's doable. Yeah? But because of the embarrassment or failure, you may not do it, but it's doable. Hallelujah? Let me ask you three questions. One day, Sarah, it just came to mind, Rema. I was just meditating about a week ago. And the Holy Spirit, or a few days, this last week. No, a week ago. And he just spoke to me. There are three levels of sanctification available to the believer. Three levels. One is the sanctification of the spirit. The second one is the sanctification of the soul. Now, sanctification means making clean and holy. Amen? And there's a sanctification of the body. As a part of redemption, God has provided for the sanctification of your spirit and the sanctification of your soul and the sanctification of your body. Question, what sanctifies your spirit? What makes your spirit clean and holy? Everybody in this church, you know that one easy. Yes, let's get... Wait. Yes? How does your spirit get sanctified?
By the word of God.
No. Wait. It's okay. I know why you said that. Yes?
By the blood of God.
By the blood? Of who? By the blood of Jesus. Open your Bible to the book of... First John. We just read it today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Open your Bible to 1 John 1, 7. Someone read for me. 1 John 1, 7. What can sanctify your spirit? What sanctifies your spirit? Is it prayer? Fasting? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Read it, please.
But if we are living in the light...
But... Please, sister. Sorry. I won't take you. I want to stay there a bit. I like that zone is very sweet. So please start from verse 5. Please follow.
But if we are living in the light.
No, from verse 5 now. Start from verse 5.
Verse 5. Okay.
1 John 1, 5 to 7.
This is the message we heard from Jesus.
Now listen to the message they heard from Jesus, yes?
And now declare to you, God is light.
God is light.
And there is no darkness in him at all.
There is what?
No darkness.
At. Oh. Can you imagine? Can you picture who God is now? There's no darkness at all. Not a taint. Yeah, continue.
So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God.
We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God.
But go on living in spiritual darkness.
Let me just stop there a bit before we go to 7.
We are not...
Just wait. I told you I would stay there a bit. You know, if you are going on a journey, you take a break and it's a very nice place. You want to take your time. Yeah? You know, it's like if you're eating a very nice meal. Yeah? You want to take your time. So enjoy it. Let me make a deviation. Can someone tell me why people eat food? And it's a simple question. Why do people eat food? What's the why? Yes?
To grow,
yes, yes. I'm looking for more answer. Why do people eat? Why do you have to eat?
To live,
yes, I agree. Survival. Why do people have to live? To eat. Why do you eat?
To be strengthened.
To be strengthened, yes. Okay, now you people are going too far. I'm asking, what is the basic reason why you eat? Basic. I know that you need it to live, to grow, to survive. But what is the basic reason? What motivates you to eat? What motivates you? Let's go this way. There are two reasons. Yes? I want that same answer first.
When you're hungry?
Yes. The most basic motivation to eat is what? Do you agree? The most basic motivation to eat is what? Hunger. Yes, what's the second reason why people eat? But do you know that most people do not eat because of hunger? Yes, there's another reason why people eat. Most basic, yeah? But it's not hunger. Think about why you eat. Beyond hunger.
It's because it's enjoyable.
I will put your hands together for this. That's practical. Absolutely. The basic reason your body, why you want to eat is hunger. You understand? Imagine if there was no, you were never hungry. Yeah? You may never want to eat. But most people don't eat because they are hungry. They are eating for pleasure. That's why you don't want to eat bread and tea, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That can satisfy your hunger, can't it? If I buy you loads of bread, yeah, and loads of tea bags, yeah, that can last you for 20 years, you will never be hungry. Why do you go to the restaurant? Hunger or pleasure? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if we have fellowship with God, we cannot go on living in spiritual darkness. Don't interpret it negatively, interpret it positively. It means that if there is spiritual darkness dominating any part of my life, my fellowship with God is still deficient. Hallelujah. To chase out spiritual darkness from my life, I need to increase my fellowship. You know what? He said, God is light. And what? In Him. So if I want to chase darkness out of my life, what do I need to do? I need to draw closer to God. Amen? I don't need to run away. I need to what? Hallelujah. God has never told you to run away from Him. Check your Bible. He never, ever. God will never tell you to run away from Him. Even Psalmist said, if I want to run away, where can I hide from your presence? Hallelujah. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. So if I'm seeing darkness in my life, what do I need to chase it away? I need more fellowship. So just say, I need fellowship. See, within the fellowship is the power. The power is not in you or in your will, but it's in the fellowship. Hallelujah. I say fellowship with the Father. Yeah, we call that prayer and praise. As I fellowship with the Word, we call that meditation. I'm taking a different type of fellowship. As I fellowship with the Spirit, we call that communion or conversation. You need to have conversation with the Spirit. Sometimes something's going on, you just talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what is going on here? That's why it's inside. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You have a conversation. It's inside you. Amen? You know, I can pray to the Father. Father is in heaven. Hallelujah. But I need to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. What's going on? Show me what I don't know. He said, it will lead you into all truth. Hallelujah. As I engage in fellowship, the darkness, what? Fizzles away. You got it? He said, be ye holy, for I am what? Don't interpret it from the negative view. Say, ah, God is holy. I have to be holy. Ah, I have to be holy. Oh, I need to be holy. So you put on holy clothes. Yeah? And you put on a holy face. Yeah? No. That's what he's saying. Look, God is holy. If I want to be holy, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Yeah? Anybody going to get my £1? Youths, God is holy. So if I want to be holy, what do I need to do? Yes? We have anybody? We have at least 4 or 5 youths here. For £1. God is holy. And I want to be holy. What do I need to do? Just the youths alone for £1.
Stay close to him.
Stay close to what? Why am I put your hands together for Audrey? That's the answer. I cannot be holy by trying hard to be holy. I will fail. I must fail. Because the sinful nature is there, waiting to trip you up. But as I draw near to God, it will draw near to what? To me. Hallelujah. As I give God a greater priority in my life, some desires will fizzle away. Wrong desires. Hallelujah. Because there's no darkness in God. So as we draw closer, I will lose desire for some things. Just like that. Just like that. Amen? Because the reason is that as I behold the character of my Father, I can see that some things don't look like Him. Though they're in my flesh. So when I want to get angry, I remember the character of my Father. Hallelujah. When I want to get bitter, I remember what? The character of my Father. When I want to get stingy, I remember who? The character. I begin to find that this is not just compatible. And I just find that I struggle now not to be like my Father. Because I'm spending time with Him. Do you see? Hallelujah. It's God that makes you holy as you spend time with Him. You cannot be holy in your own power. Amen? But as you fellowship with Him, in prayer, in meditation on the Word, in communion, you will become what? Holy. Praise the Lord. You never need to run away from God. Never. I've never read it in the Bible. Hallelujah. The only people that should run away from God are God's enemies. Yeah? They are the ones that should flee. If you're a child of God, no matter where you are in your journey, draw close to God. And He will draw closer to you. You know why? Because God already solved the problem that can make you run away from Him. What's the problem? Sin. But what's the solution? For once and for all time, the blood of Jesus has been what? Has been shed. So no matter what I've done, my life will still be better if I go to God, not run. Can you see? I go to God, I admit my fault, I'm sorry. And I receive forgiveness by faith. I receive cleansing by faith. It gives me a new chapter. Hallelujah. All the consequences of what I've done may not be wiped away. But God will still give me my best chance. Hallelujah. My best second chance. Or millionth chance. God is not just the God of second chances. He's the God of millionth chances. So long we come to Him. Hallelujah. So long we what? We come to Him. The blood of Jesus is what can sanctify my spirit. Hallelujah. And I tell you that, you know the day I became holy, when I got born again, I became God's own. Hallelujah. That's holiness. Huh? I'm God's own. Huh? I'm God's own. And the blood of Jesus, what did He do to me? He cleansed me from what? All unrighteousness. He gave me a white robe. I'm quoting the Bible, it's in Revelations. He gave me a white robe, stainless. But as I walk through life, I will pick up stains. because I'm not perfect. Hallelujah. But what do I need to do when I pick up stains? I repent. And I confess. What does it do? The blood of Jesus washes those stains away. I don't stay in sin. If you stay long enough in sin, you will become a sinner. Hallelujah. No one, I'm reading 1 John. He said, we know that anybody who is not born of God does not live habitually in sin. Sin is not my nature. Hallelujah. Because I'm born again. But I may fall into sin as a stain on my garment. But I don't stay there. I can't stay there. That's not my nature. Hallelujah. You will not find the cat staying in the mud. Hallelujah. He's going to run out of it. Hallelujah. And seek to clean itself. But you find the pig having a party. You know what they call it? You know pig's party. You know what they call it? Mud party. Mud slinging party. Praise the Lord. Secondly, what sanctifies your soul? Now let me separate it because you may not understand what I mean. Your spirit is not the same as your soul. Your spirit is the spiritual part of you. The part you use to engage with God. Other words for the spirit is your innermost being. Other words for the spirit is your heart. Other words for the spirit is your subconscious. But there's another part of you called your soul. Is your conscious, the conscious you, is here in your head. Your mind, your emotions and feelings, thoughts, reasons, they are all part of your soul. When they want, if you were to write the old story of your life, the old story of your life is recorded in your soul. That's your consciousness. How does God sanctify your soul? Yes? Remember, God sanctified your spirit with the blood of Jesus. Or let's say through faith in the blood of Jesus. How does God sanctify yourself? Anybody? Yes?
By the word of God.
By the word of God. Let's look at it. You know, I've read this scripture. This scripture is one of the most interpreted scriptures in the church. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read to you. Let's read together verse 26. Ephesians chapter 6, not 5. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Let's read together. We're running up gradually. Maybe another 5 minutes. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. How does God sanctify your soul? Yes, please read it. That's New Living Translation. Then I want it from New King James or King James. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. Please read.
For husbands, this means love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church.
Christ loved the church. And what did he do?
He gave up his life for her.
He gave up his life for her. For what reason?
To make her holy and clean.
Yes.
Washed by the cleansing of God's word.
Washed by what? How did God make the church holy and clean?
Cleansing of God's word.
By the cleansing of God's word. Hallelujah. You know what we're doing here now? You know what we're doing? Yeah? This is what we call the washing machine. Meeting. Hallelujah. Of your soul. Your soul, which is your mind and your emotions, are being purified by the word. You know, because your soul picks up all the filth from the world. You know what I mean? All the lust and the pride in the world, your soul picks it up. The unbelief and the fear and doubt and worry in the world, your soul picks it up. You can't run away from the world. Are you with me? But when you expose yourself to the word in the place of fellowship, your soul, which is your mind, is renewed. Hallelujah. It's cleansed. It's reset. It's reprogrammed. Hallelujah. And when your soul is reprogrammed, it's easy to do the will of God. You don't struggle anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please read it from King James or New King James. Ephesians 5, 25, 26. I want to correct something we normally teach wrongly. Go on.
Husbands, love your wives.
Husbands, love your wives. Are you hearing me, husbands?
Even as Christ also loved the church.
How should you love them? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church?
And give himself for it.
That's true love. True love is not just about flowers and roses. You can do it. Women like it. Do you get it? But I heard about your wedding anniversary, yeah? So you know about flowers and remind me of my own wedding. Hallelujah. But that's just the appetizer of true love. True love is you are ready to give everything yourself. Yes, continue.
That I must sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water.
How does God sanctify and cleanse the church? Through the washing of water by the word. Now, don't be confused by that English. Just simply says, he uses the word as the water to cleanse the church. Yes, continue.
27.
Read that one. Because I wanted to correct something there.
That he might present it to himself, a glorious church.
Yes.
Not having spots.
Yeah.
Or wrinkle.
Or wrinkle.
Or any such thing.
Or any such thing.
But that it should be holy and without blemish.
Holy and without blemish. Now, what I want to correct, just listen to this, you'll get it. Now, what we just read, is this talking about the present or the future? Yeah? Please understand what I just said. Jesus Christ gave his life to sanctify and cleanse just to make her holy and so that she can have no spot or wrinkle or anything. Is this talking about right now or when or in the future when we get to heaven? Yeah? Who think is now? Put up your hands. Okay? Who think is future? Okay. It's now. You're right. It's now. This is now. This is now. Hallelujah. He said, husband, love your wife. When do you need to love your wife? Now or future? Amen. It is not in the future that Jesus Christ wants to make the church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. It's now. And you know how he does it? Through the word. Through the cleansing of the word. Hallelujah. How does he do it? Through what? The word. That's why you find out that as you expose yourself more to the word of God, you will grow. Some things will leave your life. You no longer be a spiritual baby, tossed forward and backward with every wind of fashion and materialism. And greed and lust. Amen? You begin to grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When? Now. Amen? Jesus Christ wants his church to be without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Now. How does he do it? To the washing of the word. Amen? The word. See, the word sanctifies my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First Peter. He says, receive with humility the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The word saves your soul by sanctifying it. Okay? One more, then we'll finish there. How does God sanctify your body? I've said it in a way today. Think about it. What does God do to your body? I've explained it today. There's something that God did or has done with your body now that makes it holy. Because sanctification means clean and holy, yeah? There is something that God has done with your mortal body right now that makes it holy. And we quote it many times, but we quote it negatively. Why does God sanctify your body? Yes? Huh? I read the verse in Romans 8 today about what the Holy Spirit does. How does God sanctify your body?
By cleansing it.
No. Now you can have a shower. If you want to cleanse your body, have a shower. Yes. But you know a shower will not cleanse your sin. Yes. How does God sanctify your body? There is something he has done to your body that has made it holy. And he's not telling you that you should keep it like that.
Well, I'll think it's by making your body, it makes it, the things of the world don't really matter to, doesn't.
Are you sure?
I don't know what word to use, but yes. The better way to explain it is things of the world doesn't, it makes your body, does not attract things of the world, like they aren't attractive.
Yes, that's possible.
But that's not normal. I mean, in general, we can all be attracted, yeah? But it's possible not to be. That's sanctification. But how does God sanctify your spirit? It's simple. I'm not doing anything complicated. I've told you the answer today. Who is saying? One more. I said the answer today. We quote it all the time. What are we? Was it you? Yeah? How does God sanctify your spirit? No long answer, no long verse. Just give me a sharp one.
He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit.
By his spirit. Within you. Let me now prove it to you. What do you say in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20? He said what? Don't you know that your bodies, is the temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. He said, Second Corinthians says, for the temple of God is holy. Hallelujah. Who makes your body holy? It's the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, that's why you are the temple. Amen? Says, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's an education. I carry the seal of God himself in my body. When the devil shows up in my body, I tell him, get out. This body is holy. It belongs to who? The Holy Spirit. It belongs to who? Romans 8:11. It's all part of sanctification. He said, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit who lives in you gives life. He gives life to your body. You will not experience it if you don't believe it. Hallelujah. So God doesn't just only operate to your mind, to your body. He operates also directly through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit strengthens your body. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit empowers you. Hallelujah. He quickens your body. Hallelujah. He's the Spirit that raised up. Look at what he did. Jesus, the body that died and was in the grave, he raised him from the dead. So don't keep going about and saying, no, I'm weak, I'm tired, I'm sick. Receive strength from the Holy Spirit. How do you do it? You are weak. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you. You don't pray that. Not every prayer is the same. There's a time to pray. There's a time not to pray. There's a time to speak. You should not be praying when you should be speaking. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain. Did he say if you pray to the mountain? He said, if you pray to God about the mountain, what are you to do to the mountain? You know why you have to speak to the mountain? The mountain was not God's idea. It came from the enemy. Anything that comes from the enemy, it will be resisted. Amen? Now, if you need a good and perfect gift, you ask the Father. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above. But if you see something evil in your life, you speak. Amen? So I speak to you. I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you live in me. And I ask you to strengthen my body. And now, I receive strength. I start taking that step of faith. I receive strength in my body. I receive strength in my body. Before I reach the door, strength has come. Amen? But it works by faith. If I believe that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit is living in me, I believe that it's in power that I raised from the dead, is in my innermost being. When I need it, I tap into it. Hallelujah. I tap into it. Hallelujah. The doctor might have said whatever they want to say. Those are facts. Yeah? Facts change. You know, if facts don't change, doctors will be out of business, isn't it? Think about it. Someone is sick, and they could never get well. Why should they go to the hospital? Doesn't make sense. Facts change. That's why doctors are in business. Amen? They say what they want to say. You tap into the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive your power. Because you tell the Holy Spirit. That's why I tell you, you know, Holy Spirit, there are many things you want to do through me. And that's why you should not be yielding your body to sin. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit wants to use your body. And when you're using your body to sin, he can't use it. Amen? So there's a negative part, there's a positive part. My body is temple of the Holy Spirit. Just doesn't just mean stay away from sin. It also means the Holy Spirit wants to use my body for righteous purposes. That's why I need to be healthy. Amen? That's how I see it. That's how I see it. You know, like I was saying before, if I'm not well, countless number of times I woke up on Sunday morning not feeling well, I came to church, I was well. Because I said, Holy Spirit, you will use this body. You know the good thing? When I left church, I still remained well. It did not disappear. Amen? So, when you get busy serving God with your body, you have a greater claim.
Hallelujah. You know what you need that body for, don't you? So you can claim it. Hallelujah. I can claim it. Hallelujah. I can claim it. If you are believing God for a miracle in your body, it's the same principle. Hallelujah. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My womb. I don't have a physical womb. Yeah. I have a spiritual one. My womb is blessed. It's vitalized. It doesn't matter the physical law. I don't care. Do you care? How can it help you? Can it help you? Can the physical rule help you? Huh? If you follow all the physical laws, you will do the wrong thing. He said, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit went and created everything in response to the word. So that means I write in my body now. If something needs to be created, He can create it. I believe it. I don't know about you. I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe that my body is being vitalized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. One more thing, we finish there. When Satan shows up, one of the ways to resist Satan is to remind him that your body is what? You don't have any business here. Hallelujah. But if you want to do that, make sure that you're not keeping sin. If you've sinned, repent. Receive cleansing. He has no claim anymore. Let's rise up and pray. We're talking about life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it quickens your body. Do you know what the good things that God can do through you? Do you know how many lives will be changed because you are living? Yeah? Because you are there, because you said the right word, or you did the right thing, or you were in the right place. That's what it means to be the temple of the Spirit. Your body, well, let me say it for myself. My body is holy because it belongs to the Holy Spirit, who is living where? In me. On the altar of my temple, I'm offering up the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Yeah? You know that's what you do on your altar? To your mouth. Yeah? You offer the sacrifice of what? Of praise. Sometimes, that's what, one of the reasons why you're not receiving your breakthrough. You're not praising God enough. You're not thanking God enough. Hallelujah.